seen what was.
He said that when we went to St. Louis in the campaign, that General Swiddle, the pilot of our plane, had nobody in the party. And I didn't even know myself until after we had finished St. Louis and gotten the plane that we were going to Texas. Now, I'm sure that didn't happen. I'm sure that's not true.
No.
But I don't remember the circumstances.
Oh, I
wish you'd look back over.
I
wish you'd look back over and see when we told them that we were going to Texas from St. Louis.
Sure.
I know that we probably had anticipated we might go all along, but we probably were fearful we had to come back on Vietnam or something, and maybe we didn't decide it until the day before or the day of. I'm positive that nobody ever got in a plane and started circling in the air and not know which way they're going.
No, I'm positive of that too.
Yeah, but that's what Kiker says, and we just got all kinds of bad publicity all week on. It's been a hell of a bad week on cabinets quitting and you quitting and all this kind of stuff. And we've got to supplement our press office, George. Very frankly with you, the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Bundy, Secretary of Labor, all of them have raised this on their own and said we've got to do something about our press office. Now, some of them have obviously leaked. They're all of the opinion that you would prefer something else, but you kind of hesitate to tell me. I've told them that's not true, and
it's
not true, and I know that you would tell me if you want to
do
something else, but that's their feeling, and they talk about our image before the world, and they say that we do not have an aggressive leadership here, that we do not have ideas, that we do not have meat in what we do and say, that we cannot lead the world if we handle our own stuff this way, that we do not know our lessons when they read the thing, that too many things that we don't know, and that so on and so forth. So that is, that's going to cost me a good deal of my upper structure if we don't improve it. Now, I've tried for a year to improve it, and every time I do, you're kind of a dog in a manger proposition. You should bark at whoever I say and say it'll reflect on you. Well, we can't get along with Kilduff and Waters, so you can just start from there. We've got to get a sizable person that can operate with you on the same basis that Hatcher and Salinger worked, but we can have, you can have seniority and you can have title and you can have the position, but he has got to also have some strength and some ability to supplement what you have, because we've got to have that. Now, people that are really concerned about it seriously and genuinely, Don Cook, Dr. Stanton, and the folks of that type, and he just doesn't think that we're doing our job that we owe to the world, and we don't think we can do it with Kilduff, and we don't think we can do it with Waters, and we don't think we can do it by keeping people down that we not want somebody that's our equal. And I'm not afraid of anybody in this country, and although they may be more gifted than I am in certain ways, more have more leadership than I have, I'm still willing to work with them, whether it's Kennedy, Jack Kennedy, or whether it's Bobby Kennedy. And that's what we got to do here in this press office. And we've got to kind of divide the week where we don't have these breakdowns and where we don't leave the impression that we slept in our clothes the night before, or we can't catch up with the train, we're having trouble moving and playing and so forth. And we've really, if I've got to give you more information, spend more time with you, I'm prepared to do it because I really want to work. But I want a real organizational chart and clean out dead wood and not have people just because they happen to be on the payroll, and not have anybody we don't need, but have some real strong people that are imaginative enough to deal with the De Gaulle press-wise, and to deal with the Earhart press-wise and the Russians press-wise, my own image and my own Congress, and have somebody that they really feel not only knows what's going on but is in the inner circle and is looked up to and respected and trusted and admired. Now, I have all those feelings towards you, but we've got to put them together better, and you've got to put some better people on your team. If you don't, I've got to form a new team. I'm going in to play the world championship, and I'm willing to assume that you are a Mickey Mantle, and you can put one over the fence when it comes your time to bat. But I'm not willing to say that the leadoff man's got to be a punk, and the second man has got to be nobody, and the third man's got to be nobody. I've got to have some, also, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig playing together to win this world championship. And I can't do it with one arm tied behind me. And I can't have you gone for a week and just turn everything over to Kilduff and his originality and his depth and his vision of the world, because we've got to have somebody. Now, I don't know who that is. I know a good many people that I would like to consider. I don't want to consider any of them that would be working with you without your considering them. But I waited now, and I'm waiting as long as I can wait. And I've got to find somebody to bring in the Hatcher post, even if we lose Kilduff and lose Waters. Because whatever we lose, he could learn. You didn't have much experience on it before you learned. And I didn't have much experience in the presidency before I've learned. And the thing that's going to determine us is how many big brains we got in our vicinity for the next 4 years, and how many of them we called on. And I just can't rely on Willie Day to handle my press relations and figure it out. So we have to put the best together. I want to give serious thought to Mike O'Neill. I want to give serious thought to Cliff Potter, to Potter from Baltimore, Phil Potter, Baltimore Sun. I want to give some serious situation to Fred Friendly of CBS News. He hadn't been a reporter, but he's got ability and he's got good advisory. I don't think we can use Kidder much, but we've got a general feeling around town among all the reporters that the press office is not the top office in the land and not the top people. And we've got a general image that the White House staff is very bad. Well, I figured out this morning we brought in 12 people that are really policy-making positions, or professional positions, a better way to put it. And out of those 12, we've lost 5. In other words, we've lost Salinger and Schlesinger and Sorensen, the three S's. And we've lost Reardon, and that's 4, and I've forgotten the 5th one. But we've added Goldman, and we've added Busby, and we've added Reedy, and we've added Waters. Oh yeah, Hatcher was the 5th one. And we've added Moyers, and we've added Cater, and we've added Goodwin. And but they say the White House staff is in shambles. And I think that legislative is pretty well handled the same way it was under Kennedy. I think we supplemented, and I think both Walter and I helped on it very helpfully. And I think Bill Moyers contributed something. I think Sorensen and Bill Moyers and Wirtz together more or less took his job on. I think it O'Donnell, that Jack is filling his shoes very rather effectively by traveling with me and by appointments and things. So it looks to me like we have a reasonably good setup, but they don't think so. So we've got to do something about it, or are they going to just ride the hell out of us every day? And they got all kinds of stories. Now, the fact that you left and you resigned and told you ought to leave and you were going home, that story was pretty well circulated the last 2 or 3 days. Now, I know you didn't circulate it.
No.
And I didn't circulate, but you did tell Kilduff. And you know I didn't give it to any of the papers. I haven't mentioned it to a human. But that's gone out pretty well. Now, whether it has a purpose or not, I don't know. All the papers have got me putting Schreiber in the cabinet in health, education, and welfare. And it's been very humiliating to Celebrezze. And he said that he knew how I felt when I read that I wasn't going to be asked to go on the ticket again. And that's how he felt when he read where he had been a failure. Now, he doesn't want to stay in the cabinet. He wants to leave. But he doesn't want to leave on being fired. And I resent that. And I don't know where it comes from, and we're unable with our present facilities to tell. I have heard in meetings that I attended in the previous administration, and they had ways of finding out how in the hell it happened. Either the people loved them enough to really tell them, or some of their insiders did, or they checked the books. But I just heard Kennedy check time and time again on this, and he would find out that it was Scotty Reston that did it. And he would find out that it was the undersecretary, Mr. Bold, that talked to Scotty Reston. And he knew. Now, we don't have any of that. We have no way of knowing. We're just helpless. I rather think I know one of my bright young friends that believes in Shriver, and I think that he might indicate he'd be good in that office. But I can't prove it. But I just feel sorry as hell for Celebrezze. And I feel sorry as hell for you that everybody's got you resigning and quitting. Because I just don't think that that's right any more than if you had it leaked out that I was doing it. Now, I damn sure haven't done it. And I don't want it to happen. But it is happening. And it's just all over us. I did not originate this subject with Rusk, with McNamara, with Bundy, with Wirtz. But every one of them originated with me. Individually.
Well, somebody is promoting something.
Yes.
Because the staff can't be in such a shambles with that 62-40-38 vote. And,
what do you mean? 62-40-38.
I'm thinking the election.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something, somebody is overlooking a very obvious fact here, which is that regardless of all the crap they toss around.
Well, I'll tell you what's happened there. I'll tell you what's happened there. Their theory of that, which they've pretty well sold America on, because we were in a vacuum and we did nothing about it, was that it was not Johnson's popularity or any efficiency on his part, because neither really exists. It was the hate and fear of Goldwater. Now, the liberal Republicans have sold that, and the Kennedy people have sold that, and the country has bought that. And I do not think that that is the basic reason. I think it has something to do with the Republicans. But I think the basic reason that we did is the first 90 days that we convinced them that we would try to be president of all the people, and a good many business people went along on that theory, and they thought we were responsible, and so forth.
And
I think
that's right.
Been your image that you've given of me from the time I was Senate leader. Now, I think, though, that they have moved in and they have sold that picture, and that we've got to be watched, and we're corrupt, and we have weaknesses, we're too close to our friends, and the Walter Jenkins thing has hurt us substantially. Care what you say, it's hurt us with the staff, and every one of them are taking vacations, and every one of them are getting independent as hell. We've got to stay away from these cocktail parties. That destroyed him. He'd never been hurt if he hadn't gone there and gotten too many drinks that night. Just got to stay away from the lobbyists and the folks that shove us, and we just got to give up our social life pretty well, outside of an intimate thing every day or two with some different correspondents. They're laying for us, and they're following us, and they're tapping their phones, and they're tapping McNamara's. He's caught two taps in the last month. And they're watching every move that we make. So we've got to shore up, and we've got to take the initiative in these things. And I couldn't get it done any other way, so I called Eddie Weisel. I got him to have stories written saying that Johnson was popular, and he did carry on an effective campaign. He did have a good organization. He did have a record of accomplishment in the Congress. He did give confidence. And it wasn't just Andy Goldwater. It was some Johnson. He got it in all the Newstat papers. Then I got him to put it in the Hearst papers. And he got it in the Hearst papers. And he planted it in some special things. And Life says they're going to do something on it. And that's what we've got to have one man doing here all the time, though. Backgrounding and giving material of that kind, interpreting there, and suggesting things like somebody, I think Harriman. I don't know, because I don't have anybody to help me. Or no. But I think Harriman cut Rusk's guts out this morning. I think that's real bad. I think that yesterday morning somebody cut my guts out. Somebody cut mine out with Pearson this morning on the Russell story. But we don't know what's happening. We're addled. We're just a great big bear that, by God, is just getting punched at like a Mexican bullfight, and they're just throwing arrows in it, and we're standing there shivering and bleeding. We have no aggressiveness, no initiative, and we have no offensive. We react to actions, but never plan them out, think them out, and say, here's what got to be done. I mean, what got to be done.